Welcome to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. Coming to you from the community radio station of Salzburg, Austria, Radio Fabrik, this is Kevin S. Fox. In tonight's episode, our 10th, we explore the history, the archaeology, the rhythms, the flows of Salzburg's 1,000-year-old Alm Canal. We continue to dialogue with local voices, two main occupations dealing with the Alm Canal, the Almmeister and the gatekeeper. Join us to discuss and to touch upon the political, cultural, and social aspects, historical aspects as well, of the Alm Canal. We look at how the canal is connected to and forms part of a wide range of different networks. So stay tuned as we speak with the Almmeister Wolfgang Peter and the gatekeeper Kurt Klappacher and discuss the Alm Canal. You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, and this is episode 10. A canal runs through it. So we are here talking about the water here in Salzburg, and I'm with Almmeister Wolfgang Peter at the Brunhaus. It's an old pump station for residence fountain in the old city in downtown Salzburg, and it was the pump station for the Archbishop's water supply.
All the people in the Salzburg city were drinking the Alm water at this time because there was no other efficient water supply. Only the Archbishop, he wanted to have some better high quality water, and so they tried to bring some very high quality water to the city. First, they tried to make a water pipeline from Untersberg, from Fürstenbrunn Quelle, Fürstenbrunn Spring, to the city with I think 13 kilometers wooden pipes through swamps and everything, and this didn't work. It was built, but it never worked. And as a second part, there was another water pipeline built from Hellbrunn. There are also very high quality springs near the castle of Hellbrunn. And this water was brought here to Brunhaus by water pipelines. And to get it over the mountains in the inner city area, you needed the pump station. And the energy from the pump station was brought by Alm Canal water. And to bring up the Hellbrunner water. So there is a crossing of two water lines here in the house, the Alm water and the Hellbrunner water.
So we have two systems coming through here. The Alm Canal is, give us a little bit of a description of where that starts and where that goes to. I know it empties into the Salzach River in downtown Salzburg. But where does it start?
Maybe we should look at the history. If we talk about the Alm Canal, it's not only one water line, but it's a a branched network of canals, of artificial canals, that developed in a time of about 1,000 years, until 1,000 years. And no, what we find now is a system that gets the water from Königssee Ache. This is a river coming from Germany, from the German Königssee, and at the German border, the Alm Canal starts. It's about 13 kilometers from here, and brings the water from Königssee Ache to the city. In the city, it splits on 7 branches to supply all the city areas, and then these 7 branches flow to the Salzach River. The beginning of Alm Canal, as we speak about times of the 8th century, where the canal started, The first parts of the canal were built. There was no connection to Königssee Ache. And the name, maybe I should say this, the name Alm Canal, it comes from the name Almfluss. Königssee Ache is also called Almfluss. And that's why we talk about Alm Canal. Uh-huh. And
but the word Alm literally means white, is it? Or
yes, it comes from the Latin word albus, which means white.
And why is that? Is that because of the color of the water that we see, or
it's for the wild water? It's the color of wild water.
So white water, like we talk about rivers that have white water.
Yeah. It's because there is much air in the water if it falls down from stones.
All right. Yeah. And so I guess historically too, I mean, it's amazing to hear that this artificial canal system was built, you're saying, starting in the 8th century. We're talking about over 1,000 years old. So it's being used... You mentioned the Archbishop, him wanting to have his own water supply, but other people, everyone else besides him and the people that lived in his residence, would have been drinking from the Alm Canal, is that right?
Yes, that's right. But in the beginning of the system, it was only an ecclesiastical, Catholic system. The owners were only ecclesiastical.
Catholic Church.
Yes, because in the inner city area there were 2 big land owners. Mm-hmm. This was the monastery of St. Peter and the Dom chapter. Right. And these 2 land owners wanted to realize some water supply for the inner city area. So the first part, as we talked in the 8th century, this was the so-called Müllner Arm. Mm-hmm. And this was part of a river, artificial canalized river, to drive some mills near the city, to have some mills near the city, because in the inner city area there was no flowing water, just very little springs. Mm-hmm. And if you want to drive mills, you need a lot of water. So the mills were outside the inner city area in the first time. And in the 12th century, there was a problem of need of more water in the inner city area for fields and gardens from the monasteries, and also to drive mills in the protected inner city area. The city area is protected by mountains, like a natural barrier, which makes it very safe. Right. But without water, it's not very useful. So the need of water caused this idea to make a tunnel, to build a tunnel through the mountain, a 400 meter long tunnel through the mountain, which is unique in Central Europe at this time. Mm-hmm. We speak they started the building at 1137 they started this building and finished it 1143. So it took them a lot of time and a lot of money, but it was they needed to live in the inner city area.
And that tunnel is still exists today. And is that the same tunnel that people talk about that you can walk through? Yeah. When is it, in September or October?
Yeah. This tunnel still exists, yes, and you can walk through in the so-called Almabkehr. That's every year we drain the system to make some rebuildings or clean up the mud and the sand and everything. And this is the time you can walk through this tunnel. And it's very interesting because in the centuries, many different kinds of buildings were erected to keep it from falling down or to restore it again.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And so there are different kinds of structure you can find.
And how big is the tunnel? I mean, if you were, I don't know, if you were 1.80 meters, would you have a hard time walking through it?
Yes, there are some parts you have a high, maximum high, maybe 1.20 meters, 1.30 meters. Okay. And between you have 2 meters or something like that. And it's about 80 centimeters wide.
Oh, so it's pretty small.
It's pretty small, yes, because it was very much work to cut the stones. So it's as small as possible.
But to still have water go through it, yeah. When water is going through it, is it completely full? Or
no, it's not completely full. It changes about maybe 40 centimeters and 1 meter, mm-hmm. the depth of the water. And it's about 860 liters per second that go to the inner city. Mm-hmm. The main canal has a water flow about 5,500 liters per second. So it's only a small part that goes to the inner city.
Right. And then eventually it all goes into the Salzach River?
Yes, of course, everything.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode.
What I want to say is maybe this tunnel, it represents the oldest building of Salzburg that is in permanent use till now.
The tunnel itself, yeah.
Yes, and also the Alm Canal system in the inner city. There is no church or no castle that is older than this Alm Canal system and in permanent use.
Hmm. So now, does it fall then under some sort of cultural protection because it is so old? You mentioned that the water that people in Salzburg drink today doesn't come from the Alm Canal. It comes from other sources, and it hasn't been used and used for drinking on a daily basis for over 130 or 40 years now. So how does Salzburg kind of view the Alm Canal? Do they want to protect it because it is of historical importance?
There's an archaeological protection of the system. Uh-huh. It belongs to Weltkulturerbe of Salzburg also, uh-huh. Yes. So if you change some things, you have to ask the archaeological governmental
organizations.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it's very, there are very interesting things to find if you open some canals in the city, because partly it's made of gravestones from the old dome graveyard, which the Archbishop Wolf Dietrich to damage the graveyard because the dome was rebuilt And he didn't want the graveyard in this area. So they put out the gravestones and take it for renovation or reconstruction of the Alm canals. And if you open the Alm canals, you can find the inscriptions and old gravestones everywhere.
This is in the tunnel or in the
canal? In the tunnel, they lie upside down. The floor of the tunnel is made of gravestones from the dome graveyard. But they are upside down, so you can't read. You just see some lines.
So you don't know who you're stepping, whose gravestone you're stepping on.
No, you don't know.
That's good.
But there are some branches where you find foresight graves on foresight of the canal. You find the gravestones,
right.
And there you can read something. Yes. It's maybe the gravestones from the 13th, 14th century.
So, of course, the water for drinking, that's maybe its main purpose in getting water coming from the mountains or these mountain lakes was really important to have good, clean drinking water. Something perhaps in today's age maybe is more complicated than it was then. Maybe not. But I think with our use of fossil fuels and our use of chemicals in agriculture, maybe more so than centuries ago, it definitely affects the water. But I think, too, the water was being used, it must have been used for other reasons. You mentioned mills before. Was that a big use? I've noticed along the Alm Canal little arms that kind of come off and that are attached to buildings, and it seems like to me they used to be mills.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was a big use of energy. Also the monasteries, they needed water for their mills to drive the mills. Uh-huh. Because in the Roman times before, they had slaves to drive the mills, and the Christian, the monasteries and the Christian
Children.
And the Christian way of life didn't allow to use slaves for driving the mills.
Right.
So they needed water to make this work.
Uh-huh.
And so they started to build mills all over Europe in this time, with the starting socialization and Christianization.
Right.
And also here in Salzburg, this was, and the first mills, as we talked, they were established in outside the city, in Mülln. This is a part of Salzburg, which is called Mülln also today.
Uh-huh.
The name comes from these old mills from the 8th century.
Right.
And the second step was to establish the mills inside the city. And after building the tunnel, this was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they also used the water for watering their fields and gardens, and also for fire extinctions, because one of the reasons for this tunnel was also the city fire of 1127,
uh-huh.
where the whole city burned down and there was no water
to extinguish
the fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's one of the reasons why it became a safety.
It is said.
Why they made it bigger, or
they need flowing water.
They needed flowing water.
Just some wells with groundwater,
uh-huh.
but to lift up the water from these deep wells, it takes too long time. If there is some fire around, you need to have flowing water to extinguish.
Right. Is you mentioning wells? Are there a lot of wells in Salzburg?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And also, before starting the public water line, many wells were supplied by the Alm Canal system. We had about 80 wells, also in houses, in the first, just in the ground floor, because there was no high pressure to put up,
yeah.
But more than 80 wells, also fountains, also horse ponds, fish boxes, everything that needed flowing water was supplied by the Alm Canal system. And in former times, this was all managed by the church, by Catholic fraternities of St. Peter and the Dom chapter. Uh-huh. And the citizens just, they have had to pay to get the water from there. And this was all the time, all the centuries, there were problems to get water from the classical owners of the system for the citizens.
Right. So having this system, which looks relatively open to the public, right? Because you could stick your hand in it, and you could people even swim in it. People, recreate in it nowadays. It was probably tightly controlled in who could take water from it.
Yes, but in the 14th century, it was 1350. At the first time, the citizens were allowed to take water out of the system and to build a second tunnel through the Mönchsberg, because they in the northern city area, inner city area, there was the Bürgerspital. It was the hospital for the citizens, and they also needed water for the hospital and also for a mill for the people in the hospital.
Right.
And this was the first time that the Archbishop gave the permission to citizens of Salzburg to use this water. And on this branch of the Alm Canal system, there was a new branch was built.
Yeah.
And this branch, they founded many mills and sawmills and every kind of handcrafts that needs water power. Yeah. There was a real commercial center on this part of the Alm Canal, developing in the 14th century.
So without this water, you wouldn't have, without the flow of this water and the controlled flow of this water, you wouldn't have had all those small industries. And so it's not just about drinking water then, it's about being able to energize or power, I guess, the economy in some ways, huh?
Yes, it was a complete system that brings water, brings energy, also takes the wastewater away.
Yeah,
this was
right.
All, and also to bring the water from the small rivers that flow through the city to bring it to the Salzach.
Yeah.
So there were many, many functions of the system. And in the end of the 19th century, the Alm Canal was the only energy supply of the industrial sites in Salzburg. So many, many sites were located on this Alm Canal system. We had 64 industrial sites using the Alm water at the prime time.
But even you're saying the prime time, but this isn't that long ago. This is 140 years ago.
Yes, this was 100% of the energy Salzburg needed, and now we have 17 water power plants on the Alm Canal, and they make about 0.5% of the energy that needs the city now. So you can see how this increased.
It's interesting, right? The population's increased, but also our consumer,
so the
our consumption.
The
yeah.
Consume of the energy, yes.
Yeah. So more or less around 1875, the Alm Canal water is no longer being consumed by the public. Why the shift? Why the change?
Yeah, the quality was too bad to drink it for the people.
Because of the industrialization, sort of the Alm Canal, like all these little industries.
Maybe because of the growing city, there is much more wastewater flowing.
Yeah.
Also, the chemicals started to get more and more.
Uh-huh. You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. Geographical Imaginations is an hour-long radio essay program broadcast monthly from Radio Fabrique in Salzburg, Austria. This public geography project presents a geographical or spatial way of thinking about our relationships with the worlds we inhabit and co-create. Each episode takes a theme, or perhaps a question, and explores it through an interactive dialogue with different texts and voices. For more information about the show, check out the website at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode. The Almmeister, this is a position that I'll have to admit I never heard before in some other place, that there was sort of someone in control of or managing the whole water system like that. And what does, you know, what does the Almmeister do? What do you do sort of day in and day out? And, you know, what is your job?
My job is the technical management of the whole system. We have different cooperative societies who own the different parts of the system. And so you need one technical overhead to make the decisions what will happen. We have lots of small rivers flowing in the Alm canal system, so we have to reduce the water if it's raining so that it will not overflood the city. And also if you live in the city and you have 36 kilometers of edges on the right and the left side of this canal, so you have many neighbors, and if a neighbor wants to build a cellar or something else, he needs a permission of the public permission, and so you have to be there and to approve. Yes, we have to approve the project so that his cellar will stay dry, or his garage will not get flooded.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And also, I have to look for the money to keep the system alive.
Right.
We have to restore and reconstruct every year some parts. You have 36 kilometers of walls and wooden piles and everything, and that needs a lot of money to restore and to keep it alive.
So are you getting public funds just as much as private, or how does that work?
Not this much. There was a time in the 1970s where it was discussed to give up the system and fill the canals because everything was in a very bad manner.
Bad state.
Sorry. And then at 1979 there was a big reconstruction. The canal was restored by help of public funds. In the time of 20 years, always at the time of the Almabkehr.
Yeah.
We had 6 weeks Almabkehr and to restore the system in a time of 20 years, yes. And since 1997, this program is finished. And so we have to live for our own, to keep the system.
Right.
For our own, but we have a federal law, a special federal law. The Alm Canal was a governmental system after the act of how does it call secularization,
right.
1803. This Catholic system was transferred to the government with the act of secularization.
Yeah.
So it was a governmental administration for the system, and till 1937. And after this time, the government retired, and these cooperative societies got a special federal law to work this system in the future.
Yeah.
And in this federal law, the city of Salzburg has to pay a little fee for using the canal in public uses.
Uh-huh.
But the other money comes from the owners of the power plants and the cooling systems and also the ponds, the lakes. Everybody who uses the system has to pay for it.
Right.
And this works for keeping the system.
So that keeps it going. Do you have many people working with you, or not so many?
It's nearly a one-man show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. There is one gate guard at Königssee Aache, and his work is to close down the gate if there is a flood coming or if there is a thunderstorm or everything.
Yeah. It's sort of, sounds like a part-time job.
Yes. There is a house for this gatekeeper, and he can live in this house without paying anything, but he has to be there every time.
Oh, right.
Or somebody else.
So there's that responsibility of not being able to leave.
Yeah.
So
he's the owner of the first sawmill on the Almkanal, so he's always in the area and he knows what's happening on Untersberg. So it's
right. And knows enough to read the weather, how much rain you've had, when it's time to.
Because sometimes it's raining on Untersberg, and in the city there is no rain. You don't know it, especially in the night. You can't see what's happening.
Right,
and
right.
So it's very important to have somebody there on Untersberg who knows what's happening.
Right, right. Huh. So apart from him, though, this is the job of the Almeister to manage all of this, working with people, working with the neighbors, working with the city government, working with the different coalitions.
It's like facility management, but just for a river.
Right. Well, I want to thank Almeister Wolfgang Peter for sharing his ideas with us today and sharing his geographical imagination. Thanks for participating, and thanks for speaking with us.
Yes, welcome.
After learning about the network that the Almkanal creates, produces, it's visual throughout the whole landscape of the city of Salzburg. If you look at it on a map, it looks, in some ways, like a long-stemmed flower, a rose, with its main sort of artery coming up, heading north into the city of Salzburg, and then where it sort of flowers or opens up these various different fingers, all of which then finally arrive to the Salzach River, which flows essentially through the downtown of Salzburg. So we leave that sort of network imagination in some ways, or not really leave it, but let's go back up where the base of that stem, if you follow that imagery, the base of the stem of the flower, of this arterial sort of network running through the city of Salzburg. And it's exactly what the Almeister was alluding to, and it's that gate. And it's looking at where that gate receives or sort of opens up then the flow of water from the Koenigsee Ach, a natural flowing river with its headwaters, so to speak, at the lake, at Koenigsee Lake, where we were actually, the show was for our bobsled episode a few months back. So let's head up. I'll hop on the bike and head up to the gate of the Alm Canal. So geographical imaginations, we're up at the source of the Alm Canal, where the Koenigsee Ach flows into then the Alm Canal. And I'm here with Kurt Klappacher, who works as the gatekeeper in some ways for the Alm Canal, controlling the flow of water that eventually makes its way down into Salzburg. So I want to welcome Kurt.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting to use the word gatekeeper, but what are the main duties of the Alm Canal gatekeeper?
The main duty of the Alm Canal gatekeeper is to control the water volume in the Alm Canal. So that the most important thing is that the water volume doesn't come too high, so that the water doesn't flow out of the walls of the canal.
Because if it does, we're going to look at flooding from here. The Alm Canal runs north into the city of Salzburg. We'll have flooding downstream or up north in this case.
Yes, and the sub area of the Alm Canal, there are a lot of houses and a lot of people living there. So it's dangerous that the cellars and the houses are getting flooded if the water level becomes too high.
In fact, what I've seen along the Alm Canal is many of the houses, even their first floor, not just their basement or their garage, is under water level, under Alm Canal level, under sea level, so to speak.
Yes, that's correct. In former times, some centuries ago, all this area was some swamp area, and the houses were built later on, and the Alm Canal was already there. So they dried the ground and built their houses, and that's why the Alm Canal is sometimes higher than the houses are, and so it's very important that the water level doesn't go up, because it would cause a lot of damage at the houses.
Right. And so the gate itself, so that's the one main kind of purpose, is to control flooding. And how do you do it? So how do you control the gate? I'm sure in times past it was different than it is today.
Of course. In former times, some 30 years ago, we had to move the gate by hand and muscles. There were some mechanical transmissions and a wheel we had to turn. And this was the way the water volume was controlled in the canal. Nowadays, of course, the water height is electronically measured, and we type it in a computer, and the gate automatically moves up or down. So this sounds quite easy. Normally, the water volume is fixed on a certain level, but we also have some side rivers who are coming in the Alm Canal, and they're mainly coming down from the Untersberg, and they're coming very quickly. So in summertime, it's quite dangerous when the heavy rain showers and the thunderstorms are coming, that the water is coming down very quickly, and we have to put down the gate before it starts to rain sometimes, because the water is coming so quickly from the mountain, and it ends up in the Alm Canal about 5 kilometers after the main gate. So we have to reduce the water level before it starts to rain.
Oh, so this runoff off of the Untersberg that you're talking about is downstream from here. It's down, right. So the runoff is downstream from the gate. Again, not to confuse you, but north of where we are, because this does run north. But so the runoff from the Untersberg is this way.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have to, do this hours in advance. Well,
maybe not hours, but let's say half an hour before the flood is really coming.
Right. And In what? Yeah. What is the name of that side? That sort of tributary river?
There are quite a lot of small, very small side rivers, but the main side river is the Rusittenbach. And normally this little river doesn't have very much water, almost no water. But when it really rains heavily in the area between the pre-mountain and the main mountain of the Untersberg, the so-called Rosittental, this can go up to really some 1,000 liters per second. So the Elm Canal has about 5,500 liters per second, and when this side river brings 3,000 or 4,000 liters per second, we have to reduce the water level enormously in the canal.
And is there any other control? So I guess I'm thinking, if there's a lapse in someone's attention here, is there any other control down the Elm Canal, another gate that could divert water? Is there other mechanisms in position that if you were to miss that flooding, there's another place where you could divert that water?
The last opportunity to bring water back to the Königsjachen River, where it the Elm Canal gets it, his water, is about 1 kilometer after the main gate. And because after this point, the Elm Canal and the Königsjache separate, and so there's no possibility to get water away from the canal, which already went through the main gate.
So they run parallel for about 1.5 kilometers, almost 2 kilometers, and then the Königsjach goes sort of, I guess it would be east to the Salzach River, where it empties into, but then the Elm Canal continues to go sort of due north. And it's at the sawmill that you have that last sort of opportunity to open an extra gate there.
Exactly. That's the emergency gate, so-called. When the water level is too high in the Elm Canal, but that's the last opportunity to reduce the water level in the Elm Canal. All the other water which went through this point, we have to bring safely to the Salzach in the city.
You're listening to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. To find out more about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. To give some feedback or suggestion for a future episode, go to the comments section on the website, or go to the blog and enter into the conversation. So when I notice, like from, I live down in the city, when I notice the water level changing of the Elm Canal, that's due to what different factors? Is it mostly just rain level that I see the level of the Elm Canal change?
Yes, that's basically for security purpose, because when we hear the weather forecast or when we see some dark clouds are coming, we reduce the water level with a certain security level in there, and yeah, that's a reason why sometimes the weather forecast is not correct, or it doesn't rain that heavily, and that's the reason why the water level in the canal is not so high as it's normally is, because the side rivers are not bringing that much water.
Right, and so normally, if the gate was always open, this would always be full of water most of the year.
Yes, the gate is normally, when the Königsjachen River brings enough water, the Elm Canal is normally always full. Because there are lots of power plants who need the fixed level of water to produce energy for the Salzburger.
Right. So you need to keep that level full, and everyone's using it, including the sawmill where you grew up along the Elm Canal, a family business with a sawmill, exactly. And you run power off of the Elm Canal there.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
I guess just quickly to go back in terms of gauging or measuring how much water might come in downstream, and knowing when these rivers are coming up in terms of swelling with water, maybe potential flooding, whether that's due to spring melt or rain. You know a lot about weather then. So you're constantly looking at the weather, constantly looking at the clouds, knowing what kind of water is coming in, what kind of rainwater is coming into the watershed. Even though this is man-made, it's still all the natural streams are still flowing into it. What do you do to kind of gauge the water? How do you know? Do you have weather stations that you're looking at online, or are you really relying on just you're knowing the weather patterns around you?
Yeah, the weather forecast is very important for us. We have some certain internet pages. We look at the rain forecasts and on the local rain forecasts. And normally this is not very difficult to handle. The most difficult situations are the situations in spring where still a lot of snow up in the mountain, and for the weather forecast sometimes it's difficult to forecast the snow line, and some 100 meters are a lot of difference for us, because when the snow line goes up some 100 meters on the Untersberg, for instance, then it's not only coming the rainwater but also the melting snow water. Because of the rain, of some warm rain, the snow is melting also, and this doubles the volume of the side rivers which are going into the canal. So these are the most difficult situations, above all of course in spring, when the snow line is not forecasted correctly. This is quite difficult.
Yeah, and potentially, you know, even dangerous for the flooding.
It's even more difficult if this happens at night, because we are also sleeping at night, and when some warm air is coming and the snow line goes up, and this all happens at night, we have to react in a way, because there's also an alert which is coming when the main side river, so-called the Rosittenbach, is going up a certain level. Then we get on our cell phone a message, and then we know, okay, so that's our red alert, and we have to react very quickly then.
So you are linked into weather stream level gauging stations that electronically or digitally notify you of it's reaching, you know, the stream level is reaching a certain level.
Correctly, yeah. And because it's not always possible to watch the weather in the
right. I have to ask, I mean, I've lived in Salzburg only about 10 months now, and I can't figure out the weather. We're out here on a pretty nice day, whereas the weather didn't predict today to be a nice day. What's your favorite? You said you rely on some of the internet weather reports. Do you have a favorite one?
Yes, I have the ZAMK website. That's the website of the Central Weather Station in Austria. And there's the rain forecast. It's on a map, and you can zoom into Salzburg, and then that's a quite good forecast.
And so being able to zoom in on the cloud formations, you can see, is it going to rain on the Untersberg, or is it going to rain just down in town or in the city?
Correctly. It's of course more difficult for them to forecast thunderstorms and rain showers. It's more easy when the clouds are coming from, I don't know, from the north. And that's so thunderstorms and rain showers which are producing over the day are more difficult to predict and to react on them as the normal rain.
Right, especially in the summer months when it's warmer, you get those thunderstorms in the afternoons, or some afternoons, I guess. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for showing us the main gate here on the Alm Canal. You can hear the water behind us as we're talking here. It's really quite interesting seeing the gate itself. We see the old machinery, an older gate that's dated 1882, and then behind me, the newer gate with its sort of mechanical functions set up digitally that they can close and open the gate as needed from a remote site and not even have to come out here. So I want to, again, thank you for sharing some of your ideas here for with Geographical Imaginations, and we appreciate your time.
Welcome.
Given that it is July, the end of July, and the temperature is quite high here, in the low 30s in Celsius, which would be high 80s, low 90s in Fahrenheit, it's only fitting, I think, to end an episode about the Alm Canal by actually jumping in and refreshing. So, without anything else, thanks for listening. Thanks to Kurt and Almeister Wolfgang Peter for joining us this month and talking to us about the historical geography, part of the historical geography of Salzburg in the Alm Canal. So without anything else, que les vaya bien. Ciao.